Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-commerce Paradise podcast. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about what it is like to go through the process of selling an e-commerce website. So if you have built up your website to a nice monthly income, and you've had it for maybe close to a year now or a year and a half, you might be thinking about selling it. It depends on the niche that you're in, depends on how much you like the business, it depends on how profitable it is and how much customer service there is to do and stuff like that. There's a lot of reasons why people go to sell a business. Sometimes it's because they're trying to get into a different business model entirely. Sometimes it's because of life that just happens. You know, you get a divorce, or maybe you break up with a business partner, or maybe a death of one of the business partners, or, you know, you move, or there's so many reasons why people are forced to sell a business. And then there's reasons why people sell businesses that is because of more than just some sort of a life event, but it's because of the niche, or it's because they don't like doing the service, or they're just kind of burnt out on it. The latter was true for us. On the store before last that we sold, we were kind of burnt out on it, and the niche was very stressful to deal with and stuff like that. So we decided to go ahead and sell it to somebody who had a better customer service team in place and was not doing so much traveling and stuff like that. They were, and we ended up finding a great buyer who was actually has a physical retail storefront business already. So they're more equipped to do the service and support that that niche required. Now going through and selling a e-commerce business can be quite arduous, and especially if you haven't already set up your business to sell in the very beginning. For instance, if you have multiple accounts for multiple services, if you don't really keep track of bookkeeping too well, there's a lot of things that can kind of get in the way of making a business easily wrapped up into a nice package that you can sell off to somebody. And in this podcast, I kind of wanted to talk about how to alleviate those things, because it's really important before you go to sell that you begin the process of wrapping up your business, organizing it nicely, so that someone can come in and take it over, and it's a lot easier to do than, and it's a lot less of a mess than if you just have things all over the place. So the first things first, definitely set up, if you haven't already, some sort of a spreadsheet with all of your accounts in it. It's really good to stay organized and have all your information in one place. Now, you don't need to have all of the research that you do in the same spreadsheet as your accounts, but you definitely, if you've done a lot of research and stuff like that, is have that in a separate spreadsheet or have that in some sort of an organized fashion as well. Research could include your competitors, and could be include, you know, potential suppliers, and it could include keywords and, you know, content pieces you want to target and things like that. Now, having some sort of a spreadsheet is really good. I usually call it a master sheet, but it includes a link to all of your accounts, it includes a link to all of your current suppliers, and includes links to all their, you know, dealer portals and contact information and CSV sheets and pricing and all that stuff. Because if everything's in one place, it's so much easier for someone who's going to go and take over the business to access everything they need in order to make updates to the website. And it's also easier for them during the vetting process to be able to actually make sure that they're going to be able to easily access all the information, or what they're actually looking at as far as information access goes. So once you've got the organization process down pretty good, it's time to organize your finances. So if you don't already, definitely get your finances in order. That means making sure that you have a place where you keep all of the information regarding your income and your expenses. And any good business broker is going to ask for your financial data. I don't think you really could sell a business without it. You're going to need some sort of a place to put this. So you can choose to do the manual method, which is what I do, which is using spreadsheets. Spreadsheets are great because spreadsheets, you can change data around as you want. You can make formulas to automate it. And they're very easily customizable. But you have to have some, you know, experience in making spreadsheets in order to use them. It's pretty simple, and there's a lot of, you know, free courses on YouTube for how to use Excel, and I recommend taking that if you want to go that route. If you don't know, and for some reason you just don't want to try it out, you can try QuickBooks Online. You can try FreshBooks. There's other there's bookkeeping apps and stuff like that. But the issue is that none of them are set up for dropshipping specifically. They're set up usually either for freelancers, self-employed people. You know, people that basically do services, or they're set up for inventory-based e-commerce businesses. And e-commerce businesses that buy inventory have to stock it and then sell it. So dropshipping is unique in that you don't actually stock inventory, but you make the sale before you buy the product, which is really strange as far as bookkeeping goes. So it can be quite a bit of a hassle to do all the entry in a QuickBooks account or something like that. You'd essentially be ordering inventory or showing that cost of goods sold first, then you'd be showing yourself selling that. So it's a strange order entry process. Now with bookkeeping spreadsheets, you can have one sheet that has the entire order in one line, basically, which is what I do. And you enter each order, you enter the sale amount, any fees regarding related to that, then you enter the cost of goods sold from the invoice you get from the supplier, along with the shipping costs and any fees that are charged there. And then you have a net profit for that sale at the end of the line. And you can include other things like cashback rewards from your credit cards, or you know which credit card you use and stuff like that, just any data points you want to put into that spreadsheet. And then you can create a separate tab that totals up all the different months that you set up in that spreadsheet. And you can automate that. And actually in the academy, in my masterclass, I provide a link to download the template for the bookkeeping spreadsheet that I created, which is does all exactly that, and it's all automated. So it has separate tabs for every month, for expenses and for income, and so it's really easy to use. Anyway, so once you get that all set up, it's pretty simple to go about selling your website. But first things first, definitely want to find a business broker if the website's going to be over $10,000 in value. And the way you evaluate your website and how much it's going to, you know, be able to be sold for is you usually take the net monthly income, so whatever you're making, $4,000 per month or more, and you multiply that by 24, which is 2 years. Some websites can get more, some websites will get less, and it just depends on a lot of different factors. It depends basically on what the market's willing to pay, bottom line. So what is someone out there willing to pay for your website? In other words, how much demand is there? And how much supply is there already in the marketplace for websites that are for sale, that are dropshipping, that are, you know, better than your website? You know, so you have to look at the marketplace and see what's available out there at the time that you list. Selling a website business is a lot like selling real estate. You are dealing with comps, you know. You got to look at what's sold in the past as to what might be a good valuation for your website. And especially with e-commerce, niches really do come into play a lot. So it depends on the amount of customer service you have to do. It depends on the amount of sales you have to deal with. Pre-sale support and after-sale support. Depends on the amount of suppliers you have. And it also depends on whether you have a team in place or not managing your business for you. And that can be a big selling point, is having a team in place can actually really help to get a higher multiple for your business, higher dollar amount. And so if you don't already have somebody managing your customer support and sales processes for you, I would definitely suggest looking into that. It might cost you an extra $500-$600 per month, you know, or more if you want to hire somebody who's really good. But with that added expense comes a much higher multiple. Like, you could go up from 24 all the way up to like maybe 27, 28, or even 30 with somebody who's managing the business. Because the way an investor is going to look at that is that they're going to see a business that can be basically bought and then turnkey. So you basically just hand over the keys to the business, and that investor can let it run by itself, and they don't have to take on all the customer service duties themselves, right? Because an investor isn't looking for a job, they're looking for an investment. And so with that in mind, definitely create the business as an investment, not a job that someone has to take over. So even if you're only making a few thousand dollars a month, still with an extra $600 spent in outsourcing every month for customer service, you can make that $2,500 then in net profit every month. Actually a good investment. Somebody who wants to add $2,500 in net profit per month to their portfolio can see that and be willing to do it. And they'd be willing to pay you $50,000 for that, because that's 24x, right? So that makes sense. Now, some other things you want to consider are wrapping up the website and making it look really nice. So if you haven't already, definitely optimize your site for conversions. If you need help with that, I can definitely offer you help. There's conversion optimization module in my course, or you can, you know, ask me for one-on-one coaching, but there's a lot of different things you want to make sure your website is really well optimized for. There's some key Shopify apps, and I have a guide on that as well. If you go to ecommerceparadise.com and click guides at the top, you can go see the top Shopify apps that I recommend. You can also go to the resources page to see them, and all of those apps will help you optimize your store. And the next thing you want to do is definitely wrap up your marketing channels and make sure that everything is really easy to access, really easy to understand, because with the investor, whoever's going to buy your website, they're going to have to understand why your website, works the way it does. Why does it make so many sales? So you have to explain to them that, you know, you've optimized your website for conversion. So if they go in there and buy the site and then tear it apart and take all the different things that you've done out, you know, and feel like, oh, I'm going to save $50 a month by not having to pay for these apps anymore. Well, you got to tell them that they're going to lose all their sales. And you can't guarantee they're going to keep their sales if they do something like that. So definitely make it obvious and apparent and very, very important that they need to keep in place what you have in place, because every little thing matters, right? And as far as traffic goes, maybe the investor feels like, oh, you're spending too much on traffic, so let me actually go lower the bids and lower the budget. Well, you have to explain to them that, you know, your traffic is the way it is and you're getting sales because of that. So don't go and lower the bids and lower the budget. It's a really bad idea if you're going to, you know, buy the website. So selling it, you need to make sure that you understand you're going to be explaining to an investor exactly how your business works. So you need to understand how your business works. So know your marketing channels, and you're going to need to be pitching your business when you go to sell it. So like if you list through a platform like Empire Flippers, for instance, which I highly recommend, but they have a vetting process they go through for every business. And part of that is that they want to do a seller interview with you. So they're going to post that to YouTube, but you're going to sit on the phone with them for a half an hour or so and pitch your business to them. Basically, they'll ask you a bunch of questions and you can pitch it. And so that process is pretty fun and easy, actually. You have to just kind of explain exactly why your business is so great and why someone should buy it. But you will have to also answer the difficult questions like, why are you selling it? And a lot of people say things, you know, like, oh, I'm moving on to other business models or whatever. Bottom line is, from an investor's perspective, and trust me, a lot of investors know this, if you're selling a business, it's probably because there's something wrong with the business, right? If the business is so great, why don't you just keep it? And that's the golden question. So you have to be prepared to answer that one. Canned answers are, of course, that something happened to you and in your life. You know, that's always a good excuse to sell a business, even if there is actually something that you don't like about it. You can avoid talking about it. But honestly, it's better just be upfront about it. You know, if your business has a lot of customer service issues, just say that upfront, because if they find out later on that the niche is really, really painful to deal with, there's going to be a slight amount of buyer's remorse there. And you can avoid that all up front by just talking about it out in the open, putting, you know, it on the table. And they'll understand that right away. And then you'll attract a better investor to your business. Not maybe somebody who's looking for a lifestyle business, but somebody who's looking to get a business that isn't right for lifestyle entrepreneurs, right for, you know, brick and mortar store or something like that. And actually scale that because they have the processes and teams in place to do such a thing. So that's the route I took, and it worked out really well. I ended up finding that perfect buyer for my business. So that was good. But yeah, so once you have all that in place, definitely find your business broker. I recommend Empire Flippers, and you can go to them and get a free vetting. I believe they still offer for free, but just go to their website and they'll offer a free website valuation, at least. I know they do that. And if you do decide to go with them, I believe they take a 5% fee, I think is what it is, or maybe more, 15%. I think it's closer to 15% actually. Flippa takes a 5% fee, or they did. Anyways, Flippa is another one out there, but I don't really recommend using them as much because you usually find lower valuation sites on there. Empire Flippers has a whole portfolio of really, really highly valued websites, an investor, and a, you know, a whole list of investors that are willing to buy those websites. So I think they're a better broker to go with. And one other option is FE International. I haven't used them myself, but I see a lot of high valuation websites on there. And I think they're more focused on technology-based businesses than they are dropshipping businesses. So as far as dropshipping businesses go, Empire Flippers is definitely the way to go. But once you get on there, you'll get your business vetted, and you'll sign a contract with them. You'll do the seller interview, and they get to list your site. And then you'll have a listing on them, and you can decide whether to market it to your network as well or not. And they'll market it to theirs. And then you can start taking phone calls. And so the way they do that is they'll set up a interview with the seller and with the buyer, potential buyer. And you get to get on the phone with them for maybe a half hour or so and go over, you know, questions and answers. And any questions and answers that you take, you should definitely take notes on them, because you'll be able to actually go ahead and go back and add those Q&As to the product listing itself through their help. So definitely do that. And yeah, hopefully after the first few calls, you'll find a buyer. If not, then you'll have some good Q&As, and then future potential buyers will, you know, keep getting in there and get their questions answered before they have to talk to you on the phone. And if all goes well, you'll find a buyer within the first few weeks or a month. And if not, you'll maybe be on there for a couple months trying to find a buyer. But it's just like selling real estate. You know, the longer you have to wait to find a buyer, the more people are skeptical as to if the business is worth investing in or not, because they know that so many different potential investors have actually vetted it and looked at it and decided not to go with it. And they're kind of wondering why. So it's a lot better if you can just get it sold right away and really close those sales. So a little bit of a tip there, as far as closing the sale goes, you definitely want to focus on being as upfront as possible with these investors. These investors are business owners. They've usually owned multiple businesses in the past, and maybe in different business models, but still they've been business owners. And some of them are really adept at the finances, and some of them are really adept in marketing. So definitely don't try to weasel your way out of any questions or anything like that. Just if something's off, just be upfront about it. Be like, yeah, that's off. No problem. I should probably go and fix that. You know, nobody's perfect. Nobody has perfect businesses, but it's always better to be more upfront about something than be caught in like a half lie or something like that when it comes to talking to investors about your business. And then the other thing too is don't be afraid to close on the phone. You know, the Empire Flippers, they tell you you don't have to, but the more you push towards a close, the more likely you are to get it. So if you know that the call is kind of wrapping up and you know that you're coming down to the last little bit there and, you know, they're kind of on the fence about it, don't be afraid to give them a little push over the edge or maybe add a little bit of a sense of urgency to it or, you know, maybe talk about some more social proof or talk about some, you know, risk reversal kind of stuff. You know, add some conversion optimization to your sales call for your website. You are selling a website after all. So once you advance from just selling products to actually selling websites, you are kind of a different type of entrepreneur there. You are now, you know, selling a product that's potentially worth $50,000 or more. I sold three of these. So it's pretty cool that, you know, you can actually go and, you know, level up in life. There's no cost of goods sold when it comes to selling a website, which is kind of cool. So it's one of the most expensive products you can sell besides, you know, an expensive car or expensive house or something like that. So, you know, keep in mind that it's a process. It takes time like anything does, but it's worth it. Now, last thing I wanted to say in this podcast was that, guys, it's really important. Well, guys and girls, it's really important that you understand that before you go and sell an e-commerce business, you really should have another source of income. It's a really bad idea to go about just selling an e-commerce business that you have just to get a big payout and then take a year off and forget about trying to build another business. And then at the last minute, maybe before you run out of money, start building another business, you know? It's just not a great idea. What a really good idea is to actually have a second business or maybe two or three of them in the can, you know, maybe launched and getting a little bit of traffic here or there. And you just aren't really focusing on them too much. Or maybe you are. Maybe you started another business and you like it a lot more than that first one and you are focusing more on that one. The first one you're kind of letting go. That would be a good time to sell that first one. So keep that in mind, guys. Definitely have another source of income somehow. You know, the last one that I sold, I decided to sell because I wanted to focus on my membership site. And that membership site is, you know, turning into a full-time income now. And so I can focus on that 100%, which also, because I'm building a case study site in the membership site, I'm actually building two businesses at once. So I'm building another source of income with this case study site, which is kind of cool. So just keep in mind that, you know, when you sell a business, you're going to be losing cash flow in exchange for a lot of money up front. So a lot of money can tend to make people lazy. So just keep that in mind. It depends on your personality. It depends on your surroundings and stuff like that. But if you get a big, you know, bunch of cash all of a sudden, it tends to make you a bit more on the lazy side. People that are out of money tend to work a lot harder because it's a lot more necessary. So yeah, keep that in mind and don't fall into that trap. And yeah, good luck with selling your business. If you guys want any guidance or coaching, feel free to sign up for coaching at ecommerceparadise.com. I sell 1-hour sessions and I also provide coaching in the Academy, which is the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. And that Academy can take you from beginning to having a 6-figure store and beyond. And that was my goal. And that's definitely going to be my goal, to not just teach people how to do I take a dropshipping, but also how to scale their businesses and also do things like affiliate marketing, private labeling, and other things related to that. So it's going to be a great one and it's going really good. So I'm excited about it. And we've got about 25 students in the Academy right now, looking to get 50. And once I get 50, I'm going to be raising the prices. So definitely get in now before it's too late. Getting new students every day now. So spots are filling up quick. So Don't be afraid to take action in your life. Get started. When you look at everything around you, just understand that you're a unique individual and that you can do a lot more than you think you can. And there's tools that are available literally at your fingertips. So definitely take action. Don't be afraid and make those choices that will lead you to a better tomorrow. All right, guys, hope to see you in the membership site, and I'll talk to you in the next podcast. Take care.